Growing up in my life, even from the earliest memories I have, I can never remember my life without some sort of animal in it. I remember all animals have been so important in my life and growing up. I've learned so much from animals, all the way from rabbits that we raised when I was a young lad to dogs, which were very special and very unique. Each one of them had their own personality and added something to the family and to the environment. To cats, the jury's still out on them, but they seem to bring a lot of joy to people's lives. And the two cats in our house right now are pleading and trying to work the phone to call Cheryl to come home. So I care for them, but not at the same level that Cheryl cares for them. But they're very special to our family. To more dairy animals, to horses, to ponies, to all kinds of different animals. Goats were part of our life, and sheep were a part of our lives. As I was growing up and young, my dad had a herd of sheep. I mean, when I was like 4, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 years old, I can remember scenes like this over and over and over. Sheep are a very unique animal. And they're usually very easy to get along with it most of the time. And I can remember a lambing season and the uniqueness of seeing a bunch of lambs around the farm. I can remember shearing a season when we would shear the sheep and then I would end up trying to box it. My dad had this wooden box that you laid the fleece on and it had the ropes or the strings tied through it and you folded it up and it made a box and then you tied the strings on top, and then when the box laid back down, you had a bale of wool. I can remember going to the local fairgrounds, and they had a wool sale there, and you would take all your wool, and you would take it to the sale, and people were there to buy the wool. And it was a very experiential moments with sheep. But I also remember that there were ram or buck sheep that seemingly did not get along well. And they were okay if you would keep them at a great distance apart from one another. They were seen to be more conducive to getting along with each other. But the closer they got to one another, the less they could tolerate each other. And I can remember actually one ram losing his life to another ram on my dad's farm. They had got in the same pasture, and it would actually it took the one ram's life. Their fight took the life of one ram. They could not get along. The closer they got to one another, the less likely they were to get along. I have a feeling that the same thing is true in the human herd. That the closer we get, sometimes it's the hardest to get along with one another. If we could just stay in our own fields, maybe we wouldn't have a problem getting along with one another. But we get closer and closer and closer to one another, then all of a sudden we find ourselves in a feud or in some situation where it's troublesome to get along with one another. I love this passage in Galatians 2:20. It says, I have been crucified with Christ. And I just love just to even say that. I have been crucified with Christ. And it goes on, so I no longer live for myself. I live for him. I have been crucified with Christ. But later on in that same book, it says, Christ redeemed us. So I have been crucified, but Christ has redeemed us. So he's in the market for crucifying self individually, but all of a sudden we start to see an us. We start to see a herd forming. Where I've been crucified with Christ, but now he has redeemed us. I start to see this herd forming. In Ephesians chapter 2, it says this, but now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far away have been brought near through the blood of Christ. He has crucified you with himself. I've been crucified with Christ. He has redeemed us. Though once you were in different pastures, you were in different fields, but he has brought you near. He's starting to put you in the same field with one another. You've been brought near through the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made the two one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall, or the fence of hostility by abolishing in his flesh the law and its commandments and regulations. His purpose for doing that was to create in himself one new man out of two, thus making peace. He's redeeming us. There is no redeem them and redeem me. It's redeem us. And in his body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross, by which he put to death their hostilities. He came and preached peace to you who were far away and peace to those who were near. For those who were far away and those who were near. For through him we have access to the Father by one Spirit. Consequently, you're no longer a foreigners and aliens. You're but fellow citizens with God's people, members of God's house. You're in the same pasture now. Because he crucified me, but he redeemed us. Because he crucified you as well. And he crucified you, and all of a sudden you and you and me makes an us. And he said he did that, and he's bringing us together. I think the challenge now he's bringing us into the same pasture. We got some buck sheep tendencies in us. That long as you keep us away from each other, we can get along. You start to bring us in the same house, we're going to start bucking heads. And maybe even killing us or killing each other. But it's God's design to put us in the same pasture. God put us in the same field. This triangle that I made this morning or this week, it was in symbolizing the field that God has got you in. We come from this direction, perhaps. We come from this direction, perhaps. Or we come from this direction. Or maybe we just pass by God all together. But however we come, and all of a sudden, God's starting to move us toward what? To him. He's put us in the same triangle field. We had a triangle field when I was growing up. Dad said, go do, and he would say, the triangle field. It resembled the triangle field. God has put us in a triangle field. He's put us in the same field. Colossians, in our passage that we've been unpacking while we're endeavoring, I'm still here. I'm still trying to step with God. But today he's saying, you know what? You need to step with me, but you're not stepping alone because I crucified you, but I redeemed us. And I've decided to put you all in the same triangle field. So we're going through this Colossians because I want to know how to step with God. So here we go. He says this in Colossians 1, 3, verse 1, since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above. Who is he talking to? The us and the eyes. So set your hearts on things above. He wants you to set your hearts on things above. I want you to be Christ-like. When you set your, I'm inviting you all to set your hearts on things above. Well, there's only one thing above. It's Jesus. And so he said, I'm inviting you and you because I redeemed you and I redeemed you and I redeemed us. I'm inviting you all to walk toward me, to focus on things above. Guess what? We're going to get closer to one another. Because there's not a whole pile of things above. There's not a whole bunch of saviors out there. There is one. His name is Jesus. There is one who defeated the tomb. It was Jesus. There was one who was resurrected. It was Jesus. There was one who paid for your sins on the cross. It was Jesus that did that. There was one who ascended to the Father and now sits at the right hand of the Father interceding for you and me. And he's inviting you and me to focus on him. And guess what? We're all going to get closer together. God, I did pretty good, but I didn't have to hang out with people. And my favorite line of bus driving, how did you like to drive bus? Wonderful, until the kids got on. Driving bus is no issue. Driving bus with 72 children on there, that becomes the issue. Why? Because now you brought all your hooligans into one bus, right? Into one environment. If I could have a bus for one child at a time, we'd have got along a lot better. If you create 40 million churches just so I can have my own thing with God and go sit under a tree every once in a while and not have to focus on what everybody else is focusing on, and that's things above or Jesus. Because you've invited me to walk with you. You've invited me to come and focus on things above. So no matter where I've come from on this, and some, I put this arrow because some will walk right by God. They don't want to walk with God. Can you see that in the back? You walk right by God. And you don't want anything to do with that. That's up to you. But there are many, and maybe even most in this room, that have taken the opportunity to come up and receive Jesus and start the journey to focus on things above. And so now as we make the journey, guess what? The triangle gets narrower. And so now he says, but I'm inviting you all because I crucified you, but I redeemed us. And I don't have a different focus for you and a different focus for you and one for you and one for you and one for me. I got one focus. Focus on things above. Become like Jesus. Now we stand in Christ. I get that. No matter where I leave this earth in this triangle, on this angle, I'm in the presence of God. I get that. But I don't act like I'm in Jesus yet. So he's invited me to walk with Jesus. Am I making sense today? Back to Colossians, he says, since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. I'm telling you what, it's easy to live on earth to focus on earthly things because you can focus on your thing and I can focus on mine. And we just don't have to get in the same field. Maybe that's why God calls us sheep. Because maybe we're more like rams than we are sheep. Because you died and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. Therefore, when Christ, who is your life, appears, you will be with him in glory. He's got you, okay? You don't have to. You're not trying to work your way to God. You're not trying to work your way to God. And hopefully I can do enough and arrive at God before I die. He said, you're good. You're on this path. You're good. No matter where you are on this path, he's got you. That's what he's saying there. So don't worry about that, but continue to focus on things above. Continue to walk with Christ. Continue to become like Jesus. Okay, what things are going to hinder your walk here is the things that he lists next. He pushed the button. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to the earthly nature. Why? Because it's dragging you down. It's pulling your pants down. And so you're going to need to get free from some of those things that's keeping you from walking or focusing on things above or being like Christ. So you're going to have to put to death the sexual immorality because that's not going to help you focus on things above. You need to lose that, he says. Now, he says, if you don't want to walk with me, okay. But I'm asking, if you're going to focus on things above, you're going to need to lose some stuff. Because it drags you down. God, can't you let me be sexually immoral and climb toward you? God says, that's just not the way. But I'll tell you that that's going to hinder your walk. So you need to lose sexual immorality and impurity and lust and evil desires and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. And he continues in the passage. You used to walk in these ways. Duh. Because I was focused on whatever else is out here. But he said, you're not anymore. I've invited you now to focus on things above. You used to walk any way you want. Okay? But that's before you started this journey with me to focus on things above, to become like Christ. And the trouble is we all continue, the angle gets narrower. And all of a sudden we're spending more time, or we're more connected to the church or to each other. He's getting to that. Hang on a minute. Right now he's talking about you walking toward Jesus. He's talking about those he has crucified with Christ. He's talking about those he has redeemed. To become more like Jesus, you need to unhitch from some stuff, and you need to walk with me. You used to walk in these things in life you once lived, but now you must rid yourself of such things as anger and rage and malice and slander and filthy language from your lips. Okay, just so you know, rage is not going to help you walk towards Jesus. Makes sense to me. Verse 9, now the reality starts. Look what he says in verse 9, don't lie to each other. I love it. He just throws this in there. Oh, there's somebody else on this journey. I thought I was the only one, and all of a sudden I start to see people on this journey with me. Ah, don't lie to the people walking with you, because they're walking with God. Why would you want to lie with those? Lie to those who are walking with God. Don't lie to each other, because you're in the same pasture. You're in the triangle field. And you're moving toward God, and you're becoming like Christ, and you're focused on things above, and you're losing some junk in your life so you can walk with God. And when you get in there and all of a sudden you're walking with somebody else, don't try to pretend you're somebody you're not. That's not going to help. We come in here and pretend we're somebody. We paint ourselves up, so to speak, paint our souls, and we dress up and we sit up straight, and then we go out of here and we live like hell. He said, don't do that. If you're struggling in the world and you're striving to walk with God, tell somebody. Don't lie to them. Because you're journeying this journey together. Isn't that beautiful? See, there's times when it's good to be alone, and then there's times when it's good to be together, because sometimes the other end of the two before is way too heavy. I was endeavoring to get 16-foot two befores. Or tuba sixes up a steps at Mike and Bethany's. At the end of the hallway, you had to turn about a 3-foot radius and then through a door and up another set of steps. Guess what? You're not getting a 16-foot tuba six up those steps. So guess what? MJ is out on the roof. The window's open. We're passing things through the window. Guess what? I needed someone to hold the other end of the board. And I was glad for someone to hold the other end of the board. He said, I'm putting you in this journey together. Hang on, it's not always going to be easy, because you're going to turn into a buck sheep. Don't lie to each other, since you have taken off the old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in the knowledge and the image of the Creator. No, no, it's being renewed in this, because you're moving up the triangle field. Here, I love verse 11, here there's no Greek or Jew or circumcised, uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is in all and is all. Just so you know, there were Scythians and barbarians and Greeks and Jews and circumcised and uncircumcised and weirdos and lost people and people stuck in addiction and people that were getting living life okay. And guess what? It doesn't matter who you are. It matters that you're on this journey. Isn't that beautiful? You know what the Scythians were? They made the barbarians look like Girl Scouts. They're bad dudes. He said, I've invited bad dudes and good dudes, so to speak. Because I don't care if you're a good dude or a bad dude, you were a dead dude. And I didn't call you to be anything but alive. So I've called you to be alive and make this journey toward what? Toward things above, toward Christ likeness. Because I crucified you with Christ, and because I redeemed us, and you're journeying together. I put you all in the triangle field. Therefore, and this is what we've been for the last few weeks, therefore, and I'm not going to preach every one of those messages, which they're on my heart right now. I want to. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourself with compassion and kindness and humility and gentleness and patience. Why? Because that's what gets you up the triangle field. But now he says in verse 13, Look what he says. Bear with each other. Can we just scratch verse 13 out? Bear with each other. And if you're reading from some translation, it says, would you put up with each other? The New Living Translation says, you must make allowances for each other's faults. Guess what? People who are on this journey aren't always getting it right. Push the button, please. The people on the journey toward God are not always getting it all right. Because guess what? When the Scythian starts up the journey, he's still got some Scythian tendencies. And when the Jew starts up the ladder, guess what? He's still got some Jewish tendencies. I'm telling you what, the Scythian and the Jew are going to be two bucked sheep unless they bear with one another. You're going to have to give each other a break, he says. I didn't make you perfect here. I invited you on the journey. And when you're all in the triangle field, some of you, most of you, all of you are not getting it right. And guess what? People who are not always getting it all right can do things that are not right. I don't think that's a new revelation to any of us. And so you're going to have to put up with people. No, can we just vote them off the triangle? No, you didn't do anything to get them on the triangle. Jesus did. And so you can't have a vote. We're going to vote. We're going to send you off the triangle. No, you're going to put up with them. Or not. And when we start not putting up with each other or realizing that we're not perfect people, we're going to start hindering our walk toward what? Toward things above and toward Christ-likeness. Guess what? If you want to whine, there's a lot of whining you can do. But the command is this, put up with each other. Because as we move up the ladder, we're going to become more and more and more and more like Christ. Guess what? When the Scythian and the Jew gets here, they're going to be more like Christ than they were down here. But you're going to have to give them a break at the beginning. And the journey up and up and up and up. Am I making sense today? Hang on, I only got 40 more minutes. That was a joke. People, we say and do dim-witted, mean, and evil things. I've heard people and say before, did you see the way they looked at me? Guess what? People who are not always getting it right are going to look at you cross-eyed once in a while. It's just the way it is. Guess what? You're going to look at them crosswise once in a while too. And guess what? The command is for them to put up with you too. Because I've come to find out that I'm not the easiest guy to put up with. Now that's a revelation to me. Just happened just this week. Now who wouldn't want to put up with me? Woo! Check it out. God says you're not all that easy to put up with. But I love you, and I'm going to put up with you, and I'm going to ask Joe to put up with you too. Because you're going to have to give each other a break because I've invited you both on the same journey to become like Jesus. Isn't that awesome? We do weird, dim-witted, evil, miserable things. I have written in my notes here, we do slap me in the face and kick me in the behind words and actions. That's what it feels like sometimes, right? Did you know what they did? Did you know what they said? Did you know what they did? Did you know that they said this about my parenting skills? They said this about my marriage. They said this about the way I dress. Number one, I would like you to shut up, but Jesus says apparently you're not going to, so put up with each other. Because I don't want anyone to be hindered because the Scythian will become like Christ and so will the Jew. They will become like Christ. I think it simply means bear with each other. Simply means this. Don't pick up the dim-witted, mean, and evil words or actions. Don't pick them up. Push the button, please. Don't pick them up. God, people are going to do dim-witted things, evil things, wicked things. They're going to say things to me. Jesus says, I know they are. Don't pick them up. They're not good. No, they're not good for you. And as I was processing this week, I come to the point where it's really like spitting at each other. And I found this public service announcement from 1920. Spit spreads death. I said, I love that. I'm getting a shirt made out of that. Spit spreads death. And I'm going to put this passage on it. Guess what? He says, people are going to spit at you. Don't pick up their spit. The offense is on the table. We don't have to pick it up. I like this next one. This is a service, a public service announcement. Sometimes people intend to spit. Sometimes people spit because they are careless, they are ignorant, or they just been spit on themselves. So we need it. We're just going to need to give each other a break because sometimes you mean it. Sometimes you want to say something mean and nasty. Sometimes you don't know and you're just careless. And sometimes you do something out of ignorance. And sometimes you do something because something's been done to you. We're going to have to, if I don't get anything, we're going to have to put up with one another because Jesus put us in the same triangle field. And he's got the same goal. And we're never going to get here if we start bucking sheep here. This is another public service announcement. I circled the spit there. The spit is a bomb. It's dangerous. Don't pick up the spit. Now, granted, we can talk about messages, and I'll preach messages by stop spitting. But today's message is realize that there's going to be spit in the room. It's spit in your life, and I'm just saying you don't have to pick it up. If the word or action is mean, dim-witted, evil, why would you want to carry it with you the rest of your life? Oh, thank you for that mean thing you said. Man, I'm going to make room for that right here in this pocket. I want to carry it with me the rest of the life. See, I like this one. Don't pick it up. Just let it go. Just bounce off the umbrella. Again, can I just say, I just struggled with this. Oh, wait, God, can you just stop me from spitting? And he says, yeah, and I'm working on that as you get up here. But when you're working toward that, you're going to have to put up with each other. And you're just not going to do everything right all the time. And you're just going to have to understand that. Can you just put up with each other's faults? Because the ultimate goal is worth it. Bear with each other, or picking up an offense and embracing it like something else, like something special. That's the choice. Bear with one another, or scoop up somebody's spit and wipe it on your shirt and say, man, I look good dressed in this. Or put up with each other's faults. But then he goes on in the passage to say this, bear with each other and what? Forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Why? Because you picked up some spit. I told you not to. Now you got a pocket full of spit. I want my pocket cleaned out, God. I want this cleaned out. Okay, I got a remedy for that. It's called forgiveness. I can take that away. You carried that spit long enough. You're going to need to forgive one another. You're going to need to forgive. At times, we have picked up somebody's offense in our lives, and we have placed it in our lives, and we have owned it as our own. A lie spoke about you or to you or your character or who you are or your worth. And they spit at you, and you picked up that spit, and now you're wearing it. And she says, I got some remedy for that. You can forgive them. Unforgiveness is the act, this is my definition, the act of hanging on to a dim-witted, mean, or evil action or word. Unforgiveness is spit collecting. Just so you know, I had a bunch of jars. I was going to bring them, old peanut butter jars that are clear. You can start carrying it with you when somebody says, hey, if you're going to say that, can you spit a flugie in that? Because I want to remember it. And I'm just going to set this jar on my dresser every night. Oh, Joe, you're going to say something, spit in there. I don't worry about can't spit. It's been in there for a couple years. We're good. But if you could add your flugie to this, and then I could collect a bunch of spit. And we want to all specialize. It's called unforgiveness. It's spit collecting. Don't worry. I eat a lot of peanut butter. I got a whole bunch of those peanut butter jars. You can have a whole shelf of peanut butter jars full of flugies. Or you could do something about them. You could forgive. Or you could forgive. And watch what I can do with those jars of sputum, if you're a nurse. One of the nastiest jobs at the hospital is sucking people's airways. Yeah, I just heard it. It's that makes that sound. You know what it is? It's a giant unforgiveness sucker. And God's sucking it out of you because you've decided to forgive. Harisamai is the word for forgive. Harisamai is the Greek word forgive. You know what that means? Harisamai means this: grace extended. That's what that word means. That's the Greek word used here. I want you to take grace and wrap up a pardon in it, and I want you to apply that to the spit in your life. And watch what I'll do. That is the ultimate stain remover that you could ever imagine. Harisamai. Harisamai. He said, I want you to harisamai each other. Why? Because you're never going to get up the triangle field and become like Christ if you hang on to a bunch of flugies. I told you not to pick it up. But in your disobedience, you did it anyway. And now you need to have a spit remover. Harisamai. You need to have grace extended. And watch what I can do with that unforgiveness in your life. I can cause that unforgiveness, that stain of unforgiveness, I can have it go away. It's called forgiveness. It's called forgiveness. And I want you to extend forgiveness because it'll clean up the stains in your own soul, in each other's souls, and then you'll be able to journey up the triangle field. Because I'm not going to stop you from getting closer and closer and closer and closer. Because I've given you all the same goal. To be like Jesus. And I want you to walk with me and walk with me, and I want you to walk with me and you to walk with me and me to walk with you as we move toward this journey with God. He said, not everybody's going to do everything right. People are going to say stupid, dim-witted. See, I wasn't going to say the word stupid. That's why I looked up the synonym to stupid is dim-witted. But they're going to say that to each other. I'm going to say that to you. And you're going to say that to me. And I'm going to endeavor not to pick it up. And if you picked up something or if I picked up something, God says you're not bound with it for all of eternity. You can forgive it. You can wrap it in grace, this pardon wrapped in grace. And you can give it to your own soul first. Harisamai one another. If we don't harisamai one another, we're going to stall our growth toward Christ. It's a pardon wrapped in grace. Continuing in the passage with just a couple more thoughts. Push the button, please. Forgive the grievances or the complaints, the criticisms, the wrong, the spit. Actually, the spit is my addition, but The rest of them are legitimate synonyms to grievances. But look at to one another, him, her, them, yourself. Isn't that beautiful? You can wrap something in grace, a pardon in grace, and you can give it to the younger you. You can go back and say, 10 years ago, I did this, God. I did this against myself. And I'm going back. God, I'm handing it to you, and you go back. And will you forgive that person and set me free from that lie I've believed for 10 years? That's the power of God. Forgive whatever grievances you have against whatever complaints, criticism, wrong, spit. Forgive one another. Forgive him, her, them, yourself. Forgive the grievances to one another. So the question is, can I forgive? Don't ask that question. Make this statement. Don't ask the question, can I forgive? Just make the statements. I can forgive. And I spent a major portion of this week saying, God, I need a 5-step program to how I can forgive. Because I'm no longer asking the question, can I forgive myself? Can I forgive them? Can I forgive a dead father, a dead mother? Can I forgive them? I've stopped asking the question, can I forgive? I'm starting to make the statement, I can forgive. And you know what I come to and said, I went through the scriptures and I went past Jonah once and I went past several other ones once. I said, God, I just want this 5-step program. And he said, will you stay in the passage? Would you just stay in the passage? And he says this to me. He said, you can forgive. Why? Because Christ forgave you. Forgive as the Lord has forgiven you. Forgive haritzamai as the Lord has haritzamai'd you. The only thing we need to know, how can I do that? You need to get into the presence of Jesus and say, Jesus, how did you do it? How did you do it, Jesus? You did that for me. How did you do that? And watch what he does and unpacks in your life. Let me end with 3 statements. If we do not haritzamai one another, one or both or all will be hindered in their journey, in our journey, in the journey. Are you with me this morning? I'm almost done. Hang in there. Here we go. If we do not stop picking up the spit, if we do not forgive the spit that we've collected, it will stop us from growing toward Christ. If we wait to forgive until the offender shows repentance, we may carry a jar of spit with us for the rest of our lives. You getting rid of the spit has nothing to do with the other person. The final statement. If we wait to forgive until the offender shows repentance, we will struggle to forgive at that moment when they ask us because we are endeavoring to forgive from a heart that has been saturated with unforgiveness. Are you with me there? Does that make sense? That's got to make sense. He said, your journey's going to stall if you can't stop picking up the spit and if you can't forgive yourself, them, me, him, her, me, myself. And when or if that person ever requests forgiveness from you, if you have not applied that grace, that haritzamai to your soul, you're not going to be able to forgive them because you still have a heart of unforgiveness. Often we'll say, well, if they'd say this, or if they'd say that, or if they'd show this, or if they'd show that, I'd forgive them. It ain't going to happen. Even if they ever do, I don't think I'm going to have the heart to forgive them because I've got a heart full of spit. Jesus says, I put you all in the triangle field. all with the same goal. I've given you pointers on how to climb and how to walk with me. And I'm also starting to give you pointers on how to walk with each other. Because the closer you get to Christ, the closer we're going to get to each other. The closer we get to Jesus, the closer we're going to get to one another. And the closer we get to one another, some barbarian and Scythian activity is going to be spewed back and forth. Don't pick it up and forgive it. Let's go toward Jesus. Let's not be a whole field of buck sheep. Stand with me today. Father, I've been on this journey through this passage in Colossians for weeks and maybe even months, and my own personal journey as well. And then just tidbits of it coming out in these messages and these times together. So, Father, thank you that you invite me, even at times, maybe take me by the nape of the neck and take me back to Colossians and said, you're not done there. You're not done. So, Father, thank you for the truth that you've infiltrated my heart with and saturated my soul with. And, Father, I thank you that that we can be just be a part of this few-moment journey together through this passage of Scripture. And it's not just a passage of Scripture. It is the very breath of God, a loving God who redeemed us, who said, I've crucified you with Christ, and I redeemed you. And I put you in a triangle field together. I've invited you all to walk with me. Walk together, not in opposition. Father, thank you for that in my life. Thank you for that in our lives. Help us to walk with you. Help us to bear with one another. Help us to haritzamai one another. As the Lord has haritzamai'd me. I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a great day.